And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Galatians and chapter 5. And we've been looking at the Spirit of God's ministry and the essential ministry. In fact, without it, we wouldn't have anything. It is because God's Son went to the cross and died and made it possible for God to get to us. And how is God going to get to us? Through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore that his ministry is essential, that he go to the cross. And going to the cross, as he did, he makes possible the grace of God. The grace of God means the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1:14, he is full of grace and truth. Verse 16, he gives us an endless, daily, hourly supply of grace. Grace, verse 16, grace upon grace. And the grace of God means that God is able to be favorable to you and to me, that God is able to save us in a wonderful way. Now that God, because of the Son, God gives us his wonderful person. Apart from the Son, can't get to God. And secondly, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ makes possible the grace of God for God to get to us. How does God get to us? In his Son. And secondly, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross is brought to pass in reality, in practicality. It is brought to pass by the Spirit of God's ministry. So two things. The Lord Jesus Christ makes possible God to get to us. It's grace is always grace. We've been studying legalism, law, all of that is out of the picture. No flesh shall glory in his presence. Period. No matter how you cut the cookie. None. And the Spirit of God's ministry is to make possible all that Christ has made possible. What are you asking us to do, God? I'm asking you us to believe your, to believe the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe on him. I'm asking the human heart to believe so you can be saved. I don't want to believe. That's your right to choose. But if you choose to believe, the Spirit of God's ministry is to make all of that that Christ has died for, made possible, to brought home to your heart. The grace of God by way of the Son of God. And the Son of God, when you believe on him, makes possible the Spirit of God's ministry. And there's no other way to enjoy God, period, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God's ministry, grace and his ministry. Otherwise, we're just religious up to our eyeballs, theologically, every way you want to cut the cookie, but we have no reality. We need reality. Now, having said that, therefore, we were looking at in Galatians as we looked at the Spirit of God's ministry, and we reminded in chapter 5, and in chapter 5, going to verse 16, if I may. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so therefore, we have to understand we need to walk in the Spirit of God, to walk, to live, to behave in the Spirit of God. And in verse 16, if we walk in the, this is, I say, if walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary, opposed, diametrically opposed to each other. Your old nature, Christ died on the cross to take care of it. So therefore, for the lust of the flesh against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, these are contrary one to the other. So the result of that opposition, hostility, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So normally you live an old life apart from God. You live it any old way you please. When you come to the Lord as the Savior, God has given you a new relationship to have a brand new way of living, a brand new relationship to enjoy God's wonderful person and presence. And it's opposed. So therefore in verse 18, but if you be led by the Spirit of God, the word if is first class, and when you read that first class, it means since. It's a reality, if of reality. If, and it's true, that's easy. If and it's true, since. Verse 18, but since you be led of the Lord, if you're going to be let God lead you, guide you, then you're not under the law. You're freed. The law can't save you. The law can't help you. You have to trust God to save you. And God sent his Son to do so. So there's a diametric opposed, and the Spirit of God is able to go and lead, to direct, to guide us in every kind of way so that we can enjoy being God's, so we can enjoy God's saving grace. Thus, verse 17, 18 is right in the middle, going to tell us what's the battle. What's on the one side is against the other side. Verse chapter 5, verse 19, and verse 19, 20, 21. The works of the flesh, that's the old nature, is contrary to the works of the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God isn't talking about your works, it's his works. And therefore, 19, 20, 21 are against 19, 22, 23, 24, 25. So you got a contrast coming against each other as they come against each other like this, as they're coming against each other. And the Spirit of God, when you were unsaved, you had no problem. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you now have another person you have to contend with. That's God himself. So there's an opposition, opposed. So we're looking at this problem the human heart has to have, wonderfully have, to come and be saved. Still in this body, still on planet Earth, having all the everythings that you normally have, and all of a sudden you've got another resource, another way to see everything, understand everything, and go about doing everything. And that's this wonderful, your wonderful relationship to God. Now, having said that, we then went over to see it in action, over to Romans in chapter 7. And remember now the book of Romans in chapter 7, and it has to do with the gospel. What's the gospel? Christ died, according to Scripture, buried according to Scripture, rises again according to the Scripture. So the Spirit of God is going to do a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. And the Spirit of God is going to save us and by the gospel. And if you want to know the good news, you have to go to the book of the Bible, and particularly the book of Romans. The book of Romans is bring us, what good news is there? That God has died, buried, and rose again. And we come to the, read it, understand what he did that makes the good news good. So we come to chapter 6, and we have Christ's wonderful word, we're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Now, and when we come to Romans chapter 8, we're to enjoy a wonderful new relationship to God. But in order to go from 6, God crucified us. Romans 8, God rose again to make it all possible. We have to go to Romans 7. And Romans 7 fills in the gaps as we share together. So, when you came, as we did it, and God uses death, the law in the Old Testament, etc. When the person dies, the wife dies, when the husband dies, either way, the other party is free to marry, to do whatever. And in the process, because of death, death terminates earthly relationships in every way, shape, and form. So death terminates them. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so therefore we went down to see God's application, verse 4. Wherein, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. What for? Purpose. That you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So fruit. What do you know that what's opposed? Don't turn. Here we are, here's the Old Testament, here we are in Galatians, the works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit of God. And God, how am I going to get the fruit? You have to recognize you're freed from the law, free from your works, free from trying to be something you can never be forever in yourself. Your words, your thoughts, your deeds are forever. They're there. You can't erase them. You can't knock them out of your head. And you can't take a Wheaties and be free. You can't do it. No, you have to live with them. So God, what have you done? I've gone and made it possible by your death. Christ crucified me so that I can have a life from God. I couldn't have the life from God unless the wages, my old relationship to Adam. All of us are from Adam. All of us have one man, Adam, and God. He's our father. Adam is. So, and we're all blood related to him. So here we are. God, what did you do for Adam, who bore the sin of Adam, who is Romans 5:12. Oh, Adam, one by one man, sin died. He died for all have sinned. He died, he paid the price. When Christ died on the cross, He died. The first, last Adam died for the first Adam. He paid the penalty. He paid the price to set us free. How so? By death. By his death. And thus your death. You're freed. To what? To receive the Lord Jesus Christ, your life. You now have a new resident who should be president in your life. You have a new president. And you exercise that relationship. But you're going to have opposition because you've got your old nature. And your old nature hates the new nature. Romans 8, 6 through 8. So, therefore, Romans 7, in the light of that, verse 5, when we were in, this is Romans 7, 5, When we were in the flesh, the motions of the sins which were by the law did work in our members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, to bring about, to bring forth fruit, to bring in our members, to bring forth fruit unto death. All it did, all our relationship did in Adam was to cause us to have an old nature, and we always produce old. We don't produce anything that's life. All we have is dead things. So therefore, verse 6, but now we are delivered, N-O-W, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. God has given us a way out, a way to be freed. The truth will set you free. So, we're to go and exercise that relationship in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, picking up, if I can, in the light of that, in the light of Romans 7, and remember we looked at verse 18, in the light, we have to go, Paul had to go through it. He didn't go through it in 2 days. He went through it in 2 or 3 years. He had to go through it. He had a battle. And God put him out in the middle of nowhere, somewhere, out in the middle of nowhere. To what? To be exercised, to be stimulated, to understand. Paul was rich. He was a Roman citizen. He was a Pharisee. He had everything. He had the whole ball of wax. And he had to go, Philippians 3, and get to the point where he reckoned it all as worthless, as dung, as nothing. Not one drop of anything about me saves me. Only God can save me. So he had to learn that, and he learned it. And that's why we shared this most wonderful thing. Guilt is a very wonderful thing. God gives us in our body to protect us, our mind and heart, guilt. God does it for your body, pain, pain, pain for the body, guilt for the mind. God gave it to you. So it helped you understand what happens if you didn't have any pain. And some people don't have pain in things. Do you know, because you never know when you're doing is going to be worse and worse and worse because you're doing something wrong. Your arm's already broken and you're using it wrongly. It'll never be fixed. You can never fix it. So coming, getting back, verse 18. For I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Paul said, I went through a great struggle, and I had to learn, verse 19, for the good that I wouldn't, I do not. I want to do right. I want to think right. I want to come out right. Verse 19, the good that I would, I do not. I don't do. I want to do right. I want to be right. I want to be good, but I'm not. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil, that old nature within me, which I would not, that I do. And then you go through what you're reading. I might as well read it, I guess. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Yes, your old sin nature. If I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But all the law did was condemn me. I wouldn't have known, like going down the street and going downtown or something, and you're going through. And if you don't see any street lights, any stop signs, if you don't see them, and you don't see them, you just drive right down the street, But when I put big blinking red lights and big stop signs and a big policeman over there, and you keep going down the street, A boy, the law. The law tells us you better stop at the stop sign. The law comes along to awaken our old nature, to get us to see our old nature. That's what it does. Take it away, the same old nature. The difference is I don't realize it until someone's there and the law says, don't do this, do this, don't do this, do this. Then I realize, boy. So now, having said that, keep going. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I'm wonderfully, when I've received Christ as my Savior. But I see another law in my members, eyes, ears, nose, throat, warring against the law of my mind, how I think, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, etc. Now the stop signs are up, and the law is there, I realized, I was a Pharisee, I was a top knowledge killer of the persecutor of the Christians. I did everything I was supposed to do, but I didn't understand it. So therefore, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's all it is. Wages of sin is death. And Christ crucified it. You're still in a body, but you're in a body that is destined to stay dust and earthly. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, my thought process, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I want to honor God and his word and his saving grace. But, and I still have that old law in my heart, the sin nature. Galatians 5, 17, the flesh is diametrically opposed against the spirit. They're just there. I carry them. I illustrate. You and I illustrate God's wonderful truth all day long. We illustrate it. Now, so therefore, and you want to keep going now, right from 7, 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, underline in your mind, you want to answer verse 25 of chapter 7, and you go to chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, F-R-E-E, from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. When I received the Lord Jesus Christ, God gave me a wonderful relationship to himself, and that relationship of life, back to Romans 7 in your mind, you've died, so you're freed to be related, married to another. You're free. Before you weren't free. All you could do is talk about it. You could not enjoy it. It was not yours to enjoy. So God, what did you do in your most wonderful way? The Spirit of God is to bring us the life of God, and he's diametrically opposed to your old nature and mine. And he's gonna debate with you. He's gonna make it uncomfortable. So they're not able to do. I used to be able to do thus and thus and thus and thus freely. Now that I've come to know the Lord as my Savior, like many years ago, when the whole world system was different, especially using our own country. And when you got saved, the drunken bum in the street got saved, got shaved, everything got done. Haircut, just doing, and you could see him. And you say, aren't you the guy that used to sit down there in the curb like they did? Yes, I was. I received Christ as my Savior. Now my life is different. I enjoy a wonderful relationship to God using our own language. So the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to make all of that real and work in a most wonderful way. And just to go a little bit in Romans 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, the law is trying to use the flesh. And the flesh is contrary to the law. And therefore, the law says, I'd like to help you with a stop sign. The stop sign's to help you. But if you don't understand the stop sign and don't see the stop sign, then it doesn't help you. So you need to, the law says, I can't help you. It's just all I can do, said the law, is tell you, pay attention to the rightness which God requires, found in the person of Christ. Pay attention to that rightness so you can enjoy and be free. Otherwise you got a problem, because the law, if you're going to use the law, you're going to use thou shalt and thou shalt not, the Ten Commandments and all of that. If you're going to use it, you're going to have a life to go with it. And you don't have a life. All you have is a state of death. And the state of death never will exercise. You can go to his cemetery or different cemeteries. And you go to the cemetery and go on, and there's someone there that you knew. And there they say, well, we're going to go to lunch at Joe's whatever. And in the process of going to lunch, we'd like to invite you. And you say, I'm going to invite you to lunch. Now, what do you know? Now, you know you don't want to pay for her, but you know that she can't come because she's just a gravestone. That's all it is. It can't do anything, right? It can't do anything. So therefore, the law, you can't use the law because the law says it can never get along with your old nature. So, and therefore, as at the end of verse 3, that sending forth his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's what you had in Galatians 5 and 18. If you walk in the Spirit of God, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not hard, not easy. It's a wonderful way to enjoy life. That's why it's good news. Otherwise, we don't enjoy anything. We try to be Christians and everything and do right things and do all everything, but we can't. We can't do it. And God said, good. And that's why he waited 25 years for Abraham before he had Isaac. Why? Abraham wasn't ready. Ishmael is enough. Ishmael's enough. No, it isn't enough. And he had to wait for Adam, or had to wait for Abraham and Sarah to be 100 years old for Abraham and dead. So there's no way possible. And Abraham knew that, and Sarah knew that. Now, when you're going to trust me to have a child, good. Your nothing and my everything will make it happen. That's the way it works. And God waited till they were dead and quit trying to play God. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over in Romans in chapter 7, and you will note, in Romans in chapter 7, verse 4, we read it. I want to pick up a word that ties us to Galatians. Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that purpose, that you should be married to another, even to him who raised from the dead, that purpose, we should bring forth fruit. Fruit unto God. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So we had the evidence of being dead and the evidence of being alive. Fruit that brings us to death shows our death, and fruit that shows our life. Now, having said that, look at looking at Galatians, and back over there just for a moment, if you can, just to tie it together. Galatians in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, Galatians 5, and going, if I can, verse 16. And this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, and we're going to go into chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, the word fruit is singular. It isn't plural. God isn't divided up in all those attributes. God is God. God, fruit, God. God's wonderful working in your life brings forth God's wonderful presence in your life. God's working in your life brings forth God's presence in your life. Now, fruit, all right. Let's get a little handle on that before we tackle this. Back over, if I can, to Matthew. And in Matthew, picking up, please. Chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And you will note, verse 10. And chapter 3, Matthew, verse 10. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees, plural. Wherefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and is cast into the fire. Now to do that in a much expanded way, over to the Gospel of Luke, and the Gospel of Luke in chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, you'll catch it again. May I go to verse 7. Wherefore, eat neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say a word, and my servant shall be healed. Chapter 7, excuse me, I did that again wrong. I didn't mean 7, I meant 3. I keep getting backwards. 7. Put 3 in front of 7. Luke chapter 3. In Luke chapter 3, and you'll pick up, you'll see it. In Luke chapter 3, now go to verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized unto him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Remember, grace is now, wrath is in the future. Verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, evidences that you really changed your heart and mind. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, don't be saying, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able to make to these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So don't be claiming Abraham. You need to understand, being a Jew is your right. Abraham is your father, like in verse John, excuse me, Gospel of John in chapter 8. It's true, Abraham's your father, but God isn't. You aren't enjoying God because you aren't believing who Abraham believed. Abraham believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. Abraham believed God, Genesis 15, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, chapter 3, Luke, verse 7, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So now that, again, verse 9. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not good fruit, is hewn down and is cast into the fire. So God, you're going to go by their fruits, right? Here's the tree. What kind of fruit's in it? So chapter 6, Luke and chapter 6. In Luke and chapter 6, may I go to verse 43. 6 and 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. The tree is known by its fruit. Verse 44. Every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns do men gather figs? Of course not. Nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes? No, of course not. Verse 45. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So God, looking, verse 46, might as well read good. Good. For why? Verse 46. And why calleth ye me Lord? Lord, do not things which I say. Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom it's like. In other words, to do the right thing in the right way pays off. If it doesn't, don't do the right thing, it doesn't pay off. Verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, and the stream flowed, beat vehemently upon the house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was very great. So it doesn't go. So here's the fruit. Now back over to that, which is a key to the all of it, as you know, John in chapter 15. Because you're looking at fruit, the fruit singular of the Spirit of God. That's what he does. The Spirit of God's one of his ministry is to bring God into the heart in his fullness. That's what his job is. All of God is a wonderful person, his attributes. So, John chapter 15, again, just to remind us, I'll go directly in the light of the context, verse 4. Abide ye in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. You have to have, the branch has to be related to the tree. You can't have the branch lying on the ground. The branch has to be in the right tree, in the right way, to have the right results, fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For reason, because Without me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. And we read that 7,000 times to ourselves. Nothing means nothing. Why? God sent his son to die on the cross to bring us his grace so that God can deal with us. And the spirit of God's ministry is to take all that Christ made possible on the cross and bring that to your heart. That's what he did. So all that God has made possible, the grace of God has to give it. God has to give it. And the Spirit of God has to make it real. To which you said in the beginning, you need Spirit of God in the light of the grace of God. And that makes sure that's being saved. Wonderfully, wonderfully saved. Otherwise, we're just being religious and to be up to here. Well, you know, I don't want to do that. Now, and over, if I can, in the light of that, over to Ephesians. And God the Holy Spirit's wonderful, wonderful ministry. And you will note, please, if I can, while picking up, please, chapter 5, and in verse, well, no, we don't do that one. Hang on, for time's sake. Go over with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9. And you'll pick up in the middle of the context. Children, remember verse 8, walk as children in children of light. Verse 9, chapter 5, Ephesians, verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. For the fruits are good fruits, and give good evidence of good life. Verse 11, for and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them and rebuke them. That's your old nature. Contrary, your flesh is against the Spirit of God. And therefore, we don't want to get caught up. My old nature is my old nature. And I reckon, and you have to get to the point where you realize it in a most awesome, awesome, wonderful way, that your old nature is your old nature, and it never changes. So, but since I still have an old nature, and my thoughts go this way about this, but that's my old nature. And God's thoughts are over this way. So I look at your word, and God, your thoughts are not this thought. No, so I go to God. I choose God. I don't have to think these thoughts. I got them. I can even write a whole paragraph, write a whole treatise. I can write a whole lot of stuff. But it's over here. It's the works of flesh. I did it. Hey, go ahead. Without me, you can do nothing. Now, and thus in the process, I'm going to look to God's word. So then I'm going to trust God and enjoy that's true. This is God, and we're in the presence of God. And here's God's word, and we're in your presence. So here we are reading. So now, having said that, Philippians in chapter 1. Just go a little further, Philippians. And Philippians in chapter 1. And watch how the epistles are going to bang it home to us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So, that's right, we're looking to God. Where's my rightness? It's in Christ Jesus our Lord, and I understand. And what's that going to do? I'm going to trust God. And so the more I trust God, the branch is going to abide in the tree, the branch abides in the tree, and the tree provides its life. The life of the branch is never the branch's life. All the branch does is enjoy the life of the tree. The fruit doesn't belong to the branch. The fruit belongs to God. The fruit belongs to God. The life belongs to God. The leaves belong to God. God's doing what he's doing in a most wonderful way. And thus, I'm free from trying to be something, have something, do something, make something happen in and of and by myself. I'm going to enjoy God's saving grace. All of God. And all I have to just look to the Spirit of God to make it real. I don't make it real. Do you? How do you make yourself saved? How's that? How do you do that? You don't do that. You're being saved by God's wonderful presence in Christ. You don't make yourself saved. You don't make yourself, don't be saved. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to have joy. Christ said, I'm going to give you all my joy. I want you to enjoy not your joy, my joy. And when you enjoy my joy, it'll be your joy. Now, so therefore, in the Philippians, and see it again over to Romans 12. A little different way, but just the fruit. Wonderful benefit of the fruit of the Spirit of God. And in chapter 12, Hebrews, and picking up the thought in the light of being disciplined and exercised in a good way as a believer, to be exercised. So, chapter 12, going to verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. After all, we just talked about joy. And so, God, what are you going to do? The fruit, it's good. Think of Galatians 5, 17 again. The old nature is against your new nature. Spirit of God's against your old nature. So what are you going to do? You understand that? That I do. Therefore, the Spirit of God's not going to make it easy. Case in point, chapter 12, verse 11. Now, no, you're being disciplined. The Spirit of God says, I don't approve of that. So we have to go through whatever in God's wonderful way. And no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. No, it isn't. But grievous. Nevertheless, if you pay attention, the Spirit of God is going to win. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peace of fruit in righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You're going to have, when you grow up, you have to have a spanking, you have to have whatever. You have to have discipline. Otherwise, you'd be totally undisciplined, unless you're very rare. You'd be very rare if you weren't. You have to be disciplined. Life disciplines us. You know, if you keep putting your hand, you know, how many times when you were little, when you were growing up, if you ever did it, how many times did you ever put your hand on a hot stove? How many times? How many times does it take you to see if the stove's hot? Doesn't take you too long. You learn. You learn something. That's how you learn it. It doesn't come free. You had to stick your hand in the electrical outlet, and it says you want a light bulb. You understand? You're not a light bulb. And therefore you let go, hopefully. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in the light of Hebrews, I'll go with me over, if I can, to Hebrews 13, since you're right here. And we're going to have to close with that, but chapter 13, you think you get the idea? And in chapter 13, again, God telling us we're to go forth without the camp, verse 13, and bearing his reproach. And verse 15, by him, therefore, by Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, to thank God, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. In everything give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just say thank you. God is constantly there, being a pain in the neck to me in my old nature, but wonderfully there saving me, saving you. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, having said that, over again, and to Revelation, closing again, a little extra, chapter 22, have a minute, and you'll see it. Revelation chapter 22, I'm picking up by May. 22, you'll catch it, the thought, in verse 2. And that in the midst of the tree, in the midst of the streets, street of it, this is in God's new heaven and earth. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. In other words, all are saved, all stay saved. Without getting into all of that, what do you know about the Garden of Eden? The Garden of Eden, awesome trees, fruits beyond reason. Think of all the fruits that have disappeared that used to be on earth. They aren't there anymore. All the fruits are there. Wow. And God, what are you going to do? Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The way to eat, you'll surely die. Surely dying you shall die. Hebrews, Genesis 2:17. Now, jumping ahead, here's the end. What are you going to do, God? I don't want to leave Garden of Eden too fast. What else was in the Garden of Eden? The tree of life. And if you ate of the tree of life, your condition will last. If they had eaten, they could have eaten of the tree of life and would have never had a problem. But they chose the tree of death before the tree of life. And they could never. That's why the cherubim kept Adam and Eve out. No one could. Cain and Abel, they can't get in. I can't get in. Cherubim, no more. Because if they get in and eat of the tree of life, I can never save them. I can never save them. And I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit.